have this strange complex that some people say it's the invincible syndrome. You think that you can never fail. But I just like doing things ahead of my time. If I think that I could possibly do something, I'll just try it. Because I think that there's really no failures that I'll encounter that I can't recover from.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in the incredible college town of Chapel Hill. It is awesome and there's so much innovation and talent here. I am really, really, really excited on this month-long road trip from Los Angeles to New York to discover Sam. Sam, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I am so grateful that you made the time. We're in this weird parking lot in this bizarre hour of the weekend just because we wanted to make sure to get the interview in. So I'm super grateful that you're sitting in the Kia with me now. So go ahead and tell everybody who you are and what your involvement is in the tech world.
Sure. So my name is Sam Petrie. I'm a senior computer science major at UNC Chapel Hill. And I've just fallen in love with the entrepreneurship community here. It's a great program and there's great people in it. So really involved with, you know, just different ventures around the area and trying to contribute my technical expertise anywhere I can.
And now we met via a co-working space in Chapel Hill called Launch. What is the tech community like in Chapel Hill right now?
So there is a small disconnect, actually, between technology and co-working spaces like Launch. I'm one of the few that have that computer science background that are involved. So we're trying to bridge the gap through those spaces between technology and business or entrepreneurship. So really bringing that skill set into the business world and seeing how they can align and create something new.
Now, it's interesting because we also have a gap in Los Angeles between the universities and the talent and just like kind of the professional startup environment. What do you think creates that disconnect and how can we start to build a bridge both here in Chapel Hill or back in Los Angeles where I am?
In my experience, it's almost a little bit of intimidation from both parties. So the technologists are intimidated by the business folk, and
right.
then business people are intimidated by technology and coding and every kind of mystery that that is. So I think getting those people in the same room is a great
right.
way to start forming those relationships and creating those bonds. It's something that we've tried to do here at Chapel Hill as much as we can, but still have a lot of work to do.
And how do we get them in the same room? I know for in LA, I literally have to reach out to the professors and essentially create a board meeting. Is that what you guys do here too?
We have a few different student groups actually that have helped kind of create those relationships. One specifically is called the Adams Apprenticeship. It selects about 30 students every year from all different areas of campus. So really trying to create diverse entrepreneurs. It's a program that accelerates the careers of the top 30 entrepreneurial students at UNC.
It's really exciting.
It is super exciting. I did the program 2 years ago, and I've seen it grow, and we're really trying to, you know, make those connections that wouldn't otherwise be made.
What's the intent of the program?
We're hoping to create breakout moments in students' careers, specifically for those that are interested in starting their own ventures about 5 or 10 years after graduation, by providing specialized opportunities and mentors that they normally wouldn't have access to.
Now, typically, when you're in a program, you have access to like investors, or you have access to like different kind of accelerators. And also tell us the name and how to find the program again, just in case someone's listening and they're about to enter school and they're like, oh, I want to go to a school that has something like this. So does this program have that kind of access too?
It definitely does. So it's called the Adams Apprenticeship. It's only in its fourth year now. So
if we Google Adams Apprenticeship, we could find it?
You'll find it.
Okay, just cool. At UNC.com.
Yeah. Yep, it'll show up. So we do have a network of very diverse mentors. They're mostly UNC alumni or have some connection to the university that have been an entrepreneur in some way, shape, or form in their careers. So we do have individuals that are looking to invest, or individuals that have been serial entrepreneurs, started multiple companies.
Right, right.
So just that diverse set of individuals that have already seen success. And we're pairing those people with students and trying to leverage their expertise, knowledge, to really help the students out and, you know, accelerate their careers, get them to where they want to be.
And in case you guys hear the music that I hear in the background, which I have a strong feeling you probably won't hear, but if for some reason it does come across, Chapel Hill has a lot to offer. And this particular weekend, there was a huge football game. I mean, I attended the University of Arizona, and I don't remember experiencing school spirit like I experienced here yesterday. And this particular Sunday, there are a ton of bands playing everywhere. What's this music fest happening right now?
So it happens every year. It's one weekend out of the year, usually in the fall when it's starting to cool down. And we have a pretty strong music scene right outside the university. So a bunch of local bands will set up in multiple locations around the town and just play music for a full weekend. So there's food trucks and, you know, different special events that are going on. Speakers come in. But it's all just about the community coming together around music.
Wait, speakers come in too?
Yep.
So oh,
we have
wow.
A few small little, you know, either panel discussions or just someone mostly local that has something that they want to share.
That's cool. And when did you first realize that you were in love with technology?
I realized pretty late, actually. So I came to school wanting to do biochemistry, thinking that I would work in a lab for the rest of my life, and then decided that was not for me. So I taught myself to code and was building applications, basically, mostly mobile applications.
Right.
My sophomore year.
How did you teach yourself to code?
It was something that I think I always kind of had a knack for.
Yeah.
I always loved engineering, building things, and just really was interested in the quick iteration that happens with technology.
Right.
You know, you can code something and see the result right then.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the things I absolutely love about it. So I had a friend that was in computer science, and he was messing around with a few different things. I was like, can I try that? And ends up that I fell in love with it, and now I'm almost going to graduate with a major.
I know you're a senior now.
Yep.
So where's your dream to go after this?
There's not really a specific location that I want to be in, but I really want to stay kind of bridging the gap between technology and business.
But like, yeah, professionally, where would you like to go?
I think that there's a lot of interesting, innovative companies. I've done the large corporate scene. I'm kind of interested in starting maybe smaller, going with a startup or a high growth company that doesn't have as many employees, and really just, you know, hustling to try to get something off the ground.
And do you think you want to stay in Chapel Hill? You're not sure yet.
There's actually a lot of entrepreneurial activity happening in Chapel Hill and also Durham and Raleigh, which are close to here.
Right.
So there are plenty of opportunities to stay here. I'm originally from Indiana and spent my summer in San Francisco. So I've been a little bit to every part of the country, but we'll see where I end up.
And you have an invite to Los Angeles now. Check out
wonderful.
What some of us call, I don't know if I call it, but some of us call Silicon Beach.
That's what I've heard.
I call it LA Tech.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good name too.
And why do you think more girls don't get involved? What can we do to inspire more humans just to like pursue technology. And this is like, I know my dad got me video games when I was growing up and he had a home office, so I played on his computer. Mm-hmm. Are there particular things like that that you noticed in your upbringing that really influenced your future?
I didn't have much of a tech-focused family. So my parents are both, my mom doesn't even know how to turn on our computer at home. So they were not really...
My mom barely knows how to turn on her computer, too.
But I think that almost forced me to develop a certain technical skill set because, you know, I helped her make flyers for her job. And, you know, I was always the one making PowerPoints for something.
Right.
I was lucky enough in school to have opportunities to make podcasts and videos and everything
like
that.
Tell me about your podcast! Are you still doing the podcast thing?
No, I'm not, but I'm actually starting a podcast soon.
Okay, do you know what it will be about yet?
It's about research that I'm doing into entrepreneurial leadership.
Do you know what it's going to be called?
I don't know yet. Nope.
Are you going to let us know so we could celebrate you online? And what was your podcast before?
It was mostly, pretty long time ago, but it was mostly around educational kind of themes.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in a group project and kind of doing podcasts that showed how different styles of learning were affecting students.
Yeah.
And kind of the opportunities out there. So it was just a few sessions and we just kind of did it to, you know, experiment and see what we could do with it. So
what I find so interesting is that podcasting started to experience the renaissance in about 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really was not cool when you were doing a podcast. How did you even discover the world of podcasting?
It was actually one of my teachers was the one that kind of introduced our whole class to this. You know, it was just a class project, really.
Right.
It was, you know, try it out, learn how to do it. And you might, you know, go somewhere with it. But yeah, it really has seen a resurgence in the past few years. So I think it's fantastic.
What kind of equipment did you use?
Very basic. So we were just using mostly just recording it via the computer or whatever kind of technology our school had. So it wasn't anything sophisticated.
Yeah. There's this cool app that just came out. It's kind of like Anchor app. Have you heard of Anchor?
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. You can talk into your phone. It has super high audio quality. And then you could distribute it to iTunes or anything. And it's a really, really cool app.
That sounds awesome.
I know. It's like so useful. Oh, here we go. Okay. Bumpers app. And supposedly one of the investors one of the co-founders from Twitter is one of the investors in Bumpers app. And it's really, really cool app. So check that out. It makes it just so easy.
Yeah.
You just like, I feel like potentially the audio quality I'm using a Zoom one to record this and I think the audio quality would be a little bit comparable.
Really?
Anyway,
wow, that's awesome.
I'm talking your ear off about blah, blah, blah. Gearhead when it comes to audio. Simplified audio because I'm not an audio engineer. So I need to
make it work for
you. Yeah, make it work. Yeah.
Exactly.
Essentially. So what's one way? I love how much of a hustler you are just early on. What's one way that you overcome challenges and what drove you to be so ambitious so early?
I have this strange complex that, you know, some people say it's the invincible syndrome. You think that you can never fail. But I just like doing things ahead of my time. If I think that I could possibly do something, I'll just try it. Because I think that there's really no, at least at this point in my life, there's really no failures that I'll encounter that I can't recover from.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, failures is almost like guiding you in the right direction.
Right, right.
It's a blessing in disguise. Because if you try something and it doesn't work out or you really don't like it or anything like that, then you found something that you don't like. And
right.
So you can go ahead and move on from that and find something that you do like.
Totally.
So I think just keeping that mindset, I'm not afraid to try anything.
I love it. How can people connect with you online? Where can they find you?
So LinkedIn is probably what I check the most. It's just...
You blow my mind. Like, you are not normal.
I really am not normal.
No, a college student had a podcast pre-2014. Their main social network is LinkedIn.
Yep.
You're, destined for high-level executive or being a female founder. Go ahead with your LinkedIn.
It's just Samantha E. Petrie. So the little tag at the end. Just all one word.
And if you can spell it,
it's SamanthaePetrie.
And for when you guys do reach out to Sam. She likes to go by Sam, just yes. so you know that.
Yep.
And man, I just don't want to stop talking. I feel like I want to be a part of your ride to know what happens next. Like, I feel like you're writing your book right now and I want to know what the next chapter is going to be.
Hey, the next chapter is tomorrow.
Seriously. Well, thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything that you wanted to say that you feel like you didn't say yet?
I think that's everything. I would just encourage anyone that's listening to really just, if they're interested in technology, just try it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to lose.
What's been one truly rewarding thing from pursuing the tech world?
I think it's the connections that I've made with very interesting people that are also as ambitious, that can see technology as really shaping the future. You know, it has great potential to do really whatever we want with it. And I think the people that I've met along this journey have been super inspiring and have kept me going.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, I think you're so inspiring. You guys, if you want to connect, collaborate with more incredible women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. That takes you straight to the Facebook group. Oh my gosh. And I'm almost forgetting every single time. I almost forget. And it's in my bag right here. Okay. This is the coolest thing ever. It is a compass bracelet. It's from, I put them in here so I don't lose them. It's from shareyourcompass.com. So this is awesome. These are handmade. This one is 2102. So this is 2102. Okay, so the idea behind this, female founder from Wilmington, North Carolina. She made this. She imports this cork from Portugal to look like gender neutral leather. So cool. You share your story on shareyourcompass.com about how you received it, and all the listeners can follow you. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who inspires you. That person gives it to a woman in tech who inspires them. And each person shares their story on shareyourcompass so you could follow one another's journeys and make new friends.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that dope?
I love that idea.
That's dope. Okay. And I have these, where are they? Oh, here they are. The Women in Tech stickers, of course.
So awesome.
These two.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I'll give you some more when we get off the interview, but I will talk to you guys. See you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Conchetta, who we're about to interview, is about to say all sorts of things. I wouldn't let her tell me before because I wanted it to be fresh. What are you about to say?
This is craziness. Okay, I am in the market for a car, and I just spent yesterday afternoon at Kia listening to them talk about how the Niro broke the Guinness Book of World Records.
No, I didn't even know that.
Traveling across the country with the fewest gas stops. I cannot believe I'm sitting in it right now.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.